It's the $400,000 question many parents have to answer, and it could be the most explosive dinner party topic there is in Australia. I'm not talking about religion or politics or even real estate. I'm talking about school. Should you send your child to a private or public school? If you can afford a private school, and that's whatever other sacrifices you might have to make to do it, is it worth it? 35% of Australians do send their children to private schools, but a trend is emerging where private school enrolments are dropping and there's a swing back to public schools. So why is this? What's happening? Jane Caro is known for her work as a writer, broadcaster and social commentator. She's the mother of two daughters and a passionate public education advocate. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Amanda.
And Stephen Grieve is the Executive Officer of the New South Wales Parents Council. This is an advocacy group for parents with children in the independent school sector. He has a 14-year-old son. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Amanda.
Now, on a personal level, first of all, Jane, why did you send your children to public schools?
Well, I believe that a strong, well-resourced public school system is indivisible from democracy. You can't have one without the other. And I also wanted my children to know that there are as many ways to live a good life as there are people living lives, that there isn't a one-note way to live a life. And so I wanted to show my faith, my confidence in Australia and Australians and my neighbours by sending my children to the local school, which I did. And it was fine. It also saved us an enormous amount of money. And now, my daughters are 30 and 27, so a good 10 years after they've left school. Frankly, if you lined my kids up with the friends who went off to much more expensive schools and tried to pick which ones were which, you'd have a lot of trouble. So I think my faith in the public school system was vindicated. For me, it was about supporting the system that accepts every child, regardless of who their parents are, and supporting the system which is focused on the child. The reason for that is not because public schools are nicer or kinder, but because a place in their local public school is actually the right of the child. It has nothing to do with the parents.
All right. Okay.
It is every child's right.
We'll tease all that out a bit more as we proceed. Stephen Grieve, what's the key reason for you to send your child to a private school, to non-government schools?
Amanda, we had a focus on faith, on Christianity, so that was certainly a consideration. And then there are a whole bunch of other things that led us to the particular choice we made, having regard to the sorts of co-curricular programs that are run by the school, their academic performance. The pastoral care, which was terribly important to us, because we felt that was particularly well handled at the school concerned. So there's some of the sorts of things that encouraged us. But in the work I do, Amanda, I'm exposed to schools across all three schooling systems, and there's no doubt in my mind that there are fabulous schools in all the systems. And in fact,
the three systems you refer to, so that's government, and then in the non-government sector, independent and Catholic.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just ask each of you where you went to school, public or private, Stephen?
I went to Gregory Terrace in Brisbane.
What's that?
Which is a Christian Brothers school.
Right, so that's a Catholic school.
Correct.
Okay. And Jane, what about you?
French's Forest Public, Chatswood Public and Forest High.
So I reckon where you went to school, well, for you two anyway, has influenced your views. Well, okay, so these are two different perspectives we're getting. What about for you, public or private school? If you've had the means to make a choice, which way did you go with schools for your children and why? And for you, again, has the kind of school you went to influenced your views? Please post on Facebook or email lifematters@abc.com. www.nationalpublicschool.net.au. So let's get on to what you think. Michael McKenzie's here too. Hi, Michael.
G'day. A fierce debate already on Facebook. Charlotte says public schools are very good if you monitor your children closely. Private is a choice you make if you have money, but you have to check your child's progress. Pauline says public and proud. South Australia has excellent public schools. Christine says homeschool rules. Mary Jane says it depends where you live. On most parts of the Gold Coast, you'd be crazy not to go private if it's financially possible. Martha's in Canberra. Martha, your son was going to a public school for a while.
That's right. He went to year 9 or 10, whichever it is. I found out that he had been wagging school, I asked him what was the problem. He said, I don't like the teacher, because apparently the class that he was in was too big, so they split it. And this is after he had started with one teacher, but unfortunately his name came on the end of the alphabet. So he went to this other chap, and my son just stopped altogether.
So what did you do, Martha? The phone line's just breaking up a little bit, so I'll just get you to tell us what you did when you found out he wasn't going to the local school.
Well, I confronted I confronted the principal to find out. He said, oh, we can't watch them all the time. And I did say to the principal, well, I'll come and sit in the classroom or outside the classroom every day.
Gee, your son would love that.
And he didn't like that.
No.
And I said, if I'm not there, his grandmother will be there. And I said, because someone will watch him. Because they tick off his name, and he and his couple of mates would leave.
So, Martha, where did you send your son after that?
Well, I sent him then to the private school. I found out about private schools. I wanted him totally isolated, he had nothing else to do but to do his schoolwork. And I said to my son, you are going to have an education. You will either have a university or you can learn a trade.
And Martha, was he grateful for that, for you insisting on that?
When he went there, my husband was absolutely driven mad, wondering how he was coping, because he had a sister go to boarding school. And
This wasn't just private, this was boarding, so he wasn't even living at home.
He was private boarding.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay. If I could have had him on the top of Uluru, I would have.
Martha, we have to move
no
on.
No one's supposed to go up there these days.
No, that's right.
Let's hear from Helen in Tasmania now. Helen, what have you chosen, public or private?
I've chosen the public system, and I didn't. And basically, interesting, I didn't want my children totally isolated. I wanted my children to be part of the community, and I felt very strongly about that. And it was interesting listening, the question about what school I went to, and I went to a public school as well. And in both cases, they were, I suppose, in working class area, poorer areas. And I recently went back to a school reunion for my own school, and I looked across the kind of, and there was a high Indigenous population at that school. All sorts of kids went to that school, and basically all sorts of kids went to that school, and they had a whole variety. They had a whole variety of pathways, and I thought, this group is a testimony to the public school system. Mm. And I felt that about my kids. I felt my kids were adults, can essentially speak to anyone,
because they had that experience of wide diversity there. Helen,
right.
Thank you. That's great. Steve, you're in Hobart, and you've chosen a public school.
Yes, I have. I just wanted to say I concur with what Jane, your guest, said earlier. They're exactly the reasons why we chose public. But also, a point that people tend to kind of overlook is all the teachers come from the same colleges, whether they go to private or public schools. So there's an expectation that there is a level of expertise in any school with the teachers. That's my first point. The second point is that there seems to be a lot of focus on the schools only responsible for the outcomes, be they private or public. And I think that, you know, if you have a culture at home where learning is valued and it is encouraged, I think the parents should ultimately be responsible for the children's education, not the schools. There's too much emphasis on teachers, principals and the culture of the school to be accountable for everything, whereas I think parents should actually take more responsibility.
That's an interesting point, Steve. Thank you very much. Let's hear from Michelle, who's in Sydney. Now, Michelle, with your children, one has an intellectual disability. What have you done for their schooling?
Well, my daughter was my second child to go to school. My son had been sent to our local Catholic school, which had really crowded classes, but a lovely community. And we went to that school before my daughter started and said, can you help Bridie? And the principal at the time came and had a look at Bridie and met Bridie in her preschool and said, as much as we can't help Bridie, she should go somewhere else. We then went to the local infant school, public school, which was fantastic, very small classes. Come year three, the local public school pretty much said, we can't support Bridie, she needs to go into an IM class. Those were based on sort of numbers, and we couldn't get her in. So she would have been in mainstream with some aid time. So we then had to go to the private system, which I must say was brilliant. We were really fortunate to go to a school that had a class for kids with intellectual disabilities, where she was just had so much support. She had friends and the community. And as parents, we had friends, because as a parent with a child with an intellectual disability, you don't really fit in either. Mm. So I found that it was an expensive option, but has been just so worth it for our family and for my daughter.
Thanks, Michelle. So it was a private school only that could really meet your child's needs. Jane Caro, if I can come back to you and also Stephen Greig. The shift in enrolments that's emerging away from private schools back to government schools when, you know, for 20 years the trend was going the other way. Why do you think it's happening?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. I think there's been some concerted advocacy on behalf of public schools, which I think has had an effect on people. But I also think, particularly in states like New South Wales and Victoria, our state governments have really gotten behind their state schools. And I think, you know, you can understand parents having less faith in government schools when governments themselves run them down, which they did for some time. And since Adrian Piccoli and also James Molino in Victoria, that has changed around. And I think that's made a big difference. I also think we have to be, you know, pragmatic about this. We've got stagnant wage growth in Australia, so a lot of parents are doing their sums. And the expense of private education continues to go up despite the public subsidies. In fact, I would argue because of the public subsidies. So, you know, it starts to become much more of an equation for parents. And, of course, there's something else, and that is, if you actually support your local public school and get behind it because they're zoned, the value of your house goes up. And the value of your house in Australia is the most tax-efficient investment you've got. I mean, I know in Sydney, for example, places, schools like Killara High School and that have very high reputations, you can't buy a house for love nor money around that area. So, I mean, parents are doing their sums. They're looking at things like the My School website. They're comparing, perhaps, the performance of a quite expensive school with the public school around the corner that costs, you know, often hundreds of thousands less, and they're seeing that there's very little difference if they're in the same area, drawing from the same catchment of kids from similar socioeconomic backgrounds, and you know, they're making the decision. I also think we need to acknowledge that with the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse, there may be a bit less blind faith, perhaps, in the fact that because a school has a particular religious ethos, it necessarily behaves better than a school that is secular.
Well, Jane, just on that very point, Jack is in New South Wales, and Jack, you went to Catholic school yourself, you sent your kids there, but you've had a change of heart.
Yeah, the laggard response. Attitudes are difficult to shift at the best of times, a bit like the large ocean liner, you know what I mean? And once you shifted them, you've had 3.5 years up till a few months ago of quite valid, concerted and consistent criticism of systems there. I appreciate that they've changed, but they've
this is the Catholic school system you're talking about?
Of the denominational system, period.
Right.
Whether it's Anglican, it's Kelly, whatever. But the fact is that most established, expensive private schools are denominational.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, having said that, I've got four kids now in their 30s. Three of them went to established, quite excellent boarding schools, and I've got no problems with them. All I'm saying is that amongst my peer group of boomers and wanting to help grandkids and that, they now have a different attitude to whether they're going to chuck the odd 20, 30, 40 grand for a private school. It's just sort of undercut the regime that sort of, like I said, it's been a major attitudinal change, and this thing won't change. They can all the fancy, the flash buildings and more. You'll notice that there's much more overt advertising now, but it won't change this groundswell in response to the commission.
Jack, thanks very much for that.
And that sort of reflects a bit of what Jane Caro was saying. Stephen Greaves. Just this trend, the shift in enrolments that is starting to emerge. Give us your views on that. Do you think this is a trend that's going to continue?
Sure, Amanda. Talking about statistics in terms of just a year or so of results as a trend, I think is a vast exaggeration, according to my understanding of statistical theory. Having said that, I should also point out that 70-odd% of our independent schools are in fact in low SES areas, where the fees are calculated in hundreds of dollars, not thousands of dollars. And the common perception, which has been put forward in this program, is that everybody attending an independent school is absolutely rolling in money, and it's simply not the truth. And it's very unfortunate that is always being perpetuated. The other thing I would say, in terms of the school my own boy attends, parents there are under tremendous pressure, and they're making amazing sacrifices to have their child follow the choice that their parents have made on their behalf. People are taking out second and third mortgages. They've got second jobs. The grandparents are tipping in. So this image that, everybody rolls up with a Ferrari and drops the kid off at the front door is just nonsense. And it's very unfortunate that it's so regularly perpetrated without any factual information allied to it.
So, Stephen, what's your view then on private schools and government funding? Should non-government schools get government money?
Well, it varies tremendously. Every time, and it needs to be remembered, every time a parent decides to send a child to a private school, the taxpayers as a whole are saved $8,500, and that comes from the Productivity Commission. It's not from me, it's from the Productivity Commission, so they're sound facts. And that's the simple reality. The monies they do save, they do receive, obviously at those low SES schools that I mentioned, they get more substantial support from government. In the case of my own school, the level of support is around 14%. And don't forget that we're paying, substantial taxes as well as paying their school fees. So, really there's a sort of a double bite there. So, and it's all in the case of us making a choice. I mean, our schooling system in Australia has evolved over hundreds of years, and we do have three streams to our schooling system. And I don't think it's a matter of simply saying this one's better than that one, and that one's better than this one. I think, as I said earlier, my experience is that there are fantastic schools in all three systems, and that what we need to do is to be working as a community to make those schools as good as they possibly can be, regardless of which sector they're operating in.
All right, let's hear now from Tim, who's in Orange in New South Wales. Tim, where do you come down on private versus public schools?
I've experienced both public and private as a student and a teacher. The kids will do as well as they want to do. The public education system gives the same education. In private schools, they have the advantage of better discipline, so kids who may not be as academically gifted might be encouraged to do better.
Tim, thank you very much for that. Before we go to our next call, I just want to read this text out from Bernadette in Sydney. She says, we have five kids. They all went to a different school. Two to a public school, one to a Catholic, one to a Church of England, and one to a Steiner school.
That's a social experiment in one family.
Yes, it is. And she says, all excellent for each child, which kind of, I guess, reinforces some of the points that Stephen was making there. John's in Sydney. John, you've got three teenagers. What happened in your family?
Yep. What happened with our family? We started our teenagers in the local comprehensive, and basically in the end it came a death of a thousand cuts. We had a fantastic principal. She really has built the school up to something that's really quite special, but our son and our daughter said, look, we really can't cope with the fact that we can't study properly. The kids who make the most noise, who are the most undisciplined, get the most attention. So now we've got one kid in the private school, one of the kids in the Catholic school, and our youngest is actually back into the comprehensive because she's starting off. We feel that she needs to have that experience. But what my son said to me once, he said, Dad, the difference is in my old school, there'd be 22 kids talking and two kids studying. And in my new school, I've got two kids talking and 22 kids studying. Mm. And we said, look, what we pay for is the discipline to allow our kids who like to study to actually get the attention. And that's what we pay for.
Thanks, John.
Can I say something to that?
Jane Caro, yes.
What we have to remember is what we call discipline is actually the fact that private schools can pick and choose the kids they'll teach and the kids they won't teach. And public schools can't. I mean, selective public schools can, and I don't have a lot of time for selective public schools for that reason, but public schools have to take every kid that walks through the door. And basically, one of the reasons why I don't agree that saving money, and I don't agree, A, that private education does save money and help the public schools at all, but saving money isn't the point of an education system. An education system has to be about providing the best possible education for all our children regardless. And if we've got one system that can take the easier to educate kids, because even the low fee private school kids, private schools rather, even the low fee, it's comparative. They're low fee in comparison to the high fee private schools. They're not actually low fee to every family. We know the statistics are absolutely incontrovertible that private schools enroll the majority of the better off children, and public schools by a country mile enroll over 80% to 90% of all the kids with the highest levels of difficulty, the most expensive to teach kids, the kids that are hardest to teach. And that's what we kind of divide our system up into. One school system has all the rights, one school system has all the responsibilities. So I think we really need to face the fact that the discipline we talk about has nothing to do with the teachers, it has nothing to do with the principals, it has nothing to do with the ethos of the school, it has to do with the fact that they can decide which kids they'll accept and which kids they won't. And public schools don't have that ability. Here in Life Matters, a discussion about public versus private schools. Yes, Stephen Greaves.
Amanda, if I may, I think Jane's letting her natural leadings, which I admire her for, get in the way of the facts. As I just said before, 70-odd% of our schools are low SES schools, and the Productivity Commission... Jane, if I didn't interrupt you. You have a listen, right. Okay? Good girl.
Can't be true. Don't call me good girl.
Well, good woman, whatever. The simple fact is that what Jane said is completely going against the hard facts the Productivity Commission has put forward, and... we very much disagree with what's been said, and I think it's very unfortunate that this adversarial attitude keeps coming forward. It's completely unnecessary. Can I give you a quick example? We work cooperatively with the other two parent organisations in the government and the Catholic schools, and we work cooperatively with the principals' associations from all three sectors. And when we're confronted with major issues, we all work as a coalition because there are education issues at stake and we are trying to improve those education issues. Classic example was last year when the Commonwealth Government tried to come up with a ridiculous system of robot marking for NAPLAN essays. We did some research on this through the groups that I just mentioned, and we quickly found out there is no AI algorithm anywhere in the world that can mark an essay. They can't evaluate things like character development, plot development, etc. Now, we took that to the New South Wales Minister. 3 days later, he announced that New South Wales wouldn't be going ahead with robot marking, and 3 months later, the Commonwealth was forced to drop it.
All right, so that's a nice example you're giving of cooperation. Thanks, Stephen. I just want to get back to some calls now before we have to wind up. Let's hear from Isabella, who's in Victoria. Isabella, what's your story?
So I have gone through every different kind of schooling system. I started with Catholic.
This is you, your own attendance at school?
Yes, me. I'm 25. So I started in Catholic in Bendigo and went through 4 different Catholic schools and then ended up going to a Steiner stream at the Castlemaine High School. And that was such a huge breath of relief. It was just this incredible system where you could still incorporate in the public school, but you were getting the needs of yourself met through alternative education. And I'd love to see that in the future, having public schools that have small class sizes and malleable to the individual kids' needs and are attentive to that, because it everyone that I know who existed within that system strive and is still striving enormously.
Yeah,
because it was under 20 kids.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, Isabella.
Karen, you're in Sydney. You're actually the parent of a couple of young kids, and you're kind of, I guess, at the very forefront of making this choice, aren't you? Because you've got this whole school choice system, education system, awaiting your children. What are you thinking?
Well, yeah, it's true. I have 2 young sons who are aged 2 and 4. My husband and I, we both went to private schools, but we're not convinced that that really is the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
One trend that we've noticed at the moment that we're considering is that we find that some people are actually sending their kids to public school and supplementing their education with private tuition. And they feel that that perhaps is the best way forward.
Are you thinking of adopting that? Are you thinking of that one
Something
for yourself?
That we're thinking about, my sons at the moment are at the French school here in Sydney, the Lycée, which we think is fantastic. That goes all the way through till the age of 18. But it's definitely something we're considering, whether, public school with being supplemented by private tuition might be the way forward.
Yeah, well, good luck with that choice.
Yeah, interesting mix of both there, Karen. Look, and I have to say that I am curious as to whether this trend that started this sort of swing away from private to public schools is going to continue or not. We shall see. Stephen Grieve is the Executive Officer of the New South Wales Parents Council. It's an advocacy group for parents with children in the independent school sector. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Okay, thank you, Amanda.
And Jane Caro is a writer, broadcaster, social commentator and public educator. Education advocate.
Not an educator.
Public education advocate. I'll get that out. Yes. Thanks, Jane.
My pleasure, Amanda.
And many thanks for all your calls and comments too. And Michael McKenzie, now you're not going anywhere. More from you in just a moment.
Sure.
Okay. And you can continue to comment on this, on the public versus private school education debate, on email lifematters@abc.net.au or Facebook. We're at ABCRN Life Matters.